That's all I want. Lord, I ever needed your. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love him tonight? I love him tonight and yesterday night and tomorrow night and every night that I can get. Because of him is what we are here this tonight. Well, let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for you giving us the strength, giving us the health. Father, blessing us, providing for us. The only reason we're standing here tonight is because your grace and mercy. Father, we thank you and we ask you for the rest of the service. Father, we want you tonight. Father, that's all we want because that's the only thing that can satisfy my soul tonight. Father, thank you for everything that you have done. But tonight, Father, I know you have more for your children. Because if it wasn't so, we wouldn't be here. But we are here because you're still calling. You're still speaking to your little bride, that portion that is here tonight. Father, it is not a man. It is not someone else. It is you, only you. Father, tonight we ask you to come. I will set myself aside, Father, and let you, Father, use this clay, Father, for your glory and your honor. Have your way tonight from the pulpit to the back door. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Father, change our ways, change our minds, our bodies, Father, to your likeness. Because that is the purpose that we are here. Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask you to be with our brother pastor. And those that are not here because of sickness or other things. Father, be with them, protect them and keep them. Bless those that are listening. Father, may they get a blessing, Father, tonight as well. In a special way. Thank you for those that are here. Father, make yourself known to them in a special way tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask you all this thing. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. Oh, I didn't turn this guy. You can be seated. I don't know. They left us alone, I guess. We never alone. No, not that way. Is Andy sick or out of town or, huh? Oh, okay. I didn't mean to, you know. But I just came and we said, you ready? We are alone. I know the pastor called me. You can be seated. Called me. He told me that he was going to take a little longer or something happened. So that's what I'm here. So then I was wondering, where's all the deacons? Where's everybody? Did the rapture happen and they forgot to tell me something? I mean, that will be the great disappointment, right? Not for me, but I'm saying, you know, that you come and the church is gone. But I'm glad that you're here. Amen. Tonight I want to take a look at the time that we are living. I'm always concerned with what I am. I don't know why. It's just the thing that I'm wired up that way. I always need to know where I am and where I'm going. Because if I don't know where I am, I don't know where I'm going. And when I'm going, you need to know what direction to go. You just don't take off in any direction. I spent time in the army. And I used to, you know, go out there and do some exercises. They give you a compass. Thank you. And then they just throw you in the dark. And you have to know, you know, where you are, what is objective, where you're going. And you need to find out all the little details, how to read the compass. And tonight, that's what I like about the Bible. The Bible is our instruction book. It tells us where we came from, where we're going. And the Holy Spirit is that compass that takes you. Amen. See, where you're going tonight, you know, he has some directions for you and for me. But I like to know exactly where I'm standing, you know, and where I'm facing. Because I need to know that I'm facing the right way. And I am being led the right way. See? Amen. So, tonight I want to talk to you. Oh, I opened the wrong one. This is not the one that was 2 weeks ago. Let's see. Don't worry, I didn't lose it. I know it's here somewhere. Okay. Let's read from... you can stand now. You rested enough now. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. I'm going to take my text from there. Because this is the time that we are living. And you need to know what is going to happen next. What's gone is gone. I want to see, you know, move forward. So let no man deceive you by any means. And we know that. That you are a child of God, you cannot be deceived. The elect cannot be deceived. But must be some people that could be deceived, or he wouldn't write this here. Now, I don't think none of you can be deceived, but there's some that will be deceived. For that day shall not come except they come a falling away. This is Paul back then. See? Falling away first. So it has to be a falling away and apostasy. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And 6 verses. And now we know what withholdeth that he might be revealing his time. And so we know it is you. It was them there. He's talking about those days. But this has a dual, you know, thing. It is here today. You are the one holding that day. Okay, so that day cannot come until you and I are out of the way. Amen. So as long as I'm here, some of this stuff cannot happen. But they're just waiting for us to get out of the way so it happens. It says, for the mystery of iniquity that already works. Now, was working then. Iniquity, it is the mystery of iniquity, sissy. You know, they knew what to do, but they didn't do it. So they desire something else more than what they already had, and Paul has preached, looking for something else, itching ears. You know, they tried to thought something that it wasn't what Paul revealed to them and brought to them. And that is still, I'm bringing that because I know before, you know, apostasy happened, some of us, not us, but had to fall away. See, and away, falling away is trying to follow something that is not what has been revealed to us by the message. Somewhere that way. 11, delusion. And for this cause, God shall send them not just delusion, but a strong. You know what a delusion is? You believe a lie that is a real thing, that is the real, the truth. So they're believing the lie. He says that they should believe the lie. So we have to come to the point that there are some that they will believe the strong illusion. Not because God sent it. Not because God wanted it. It's because they desire to follow something. God is going to fulfill their prophecy. That's what you want. Here it is. See? It's not because God is trying to, you know, destroy people or trying to fool them and try to, you know, deceive them so they can be lost. God don't do that. It is because in their heart, that's why they want it. Uh-huh. And I think we're here. Not here, but this is the times that we're living. Now, and the reason that also, verse 10, I don't have it over here, but verse 10 says, they did not have the love of the what? Of the truth. They desire some other truth. But not the real truth. See, they want something else. And that's what's called unrighteousness. They don't want righteousness. They want unrighteousness. Amen. So, But we know that the elect cannot be deceived. No one full of the Holy Ghost can be deceived. Amen. But you have to know that you know that you know that you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because if you don't know, you can be deceived. Because a Christian that is full of the Holy Ghost, you love the truth. The reason you're here is because you love the truth. And when the truth comes forward, it does something. It will change you. It will enlighten you. It will teach you. It will show you. You know, it will change you. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brothers, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. I like this. Just look how it's written. Word is not in uppercase. So we're talking about word. No, regular word, what we give to each other. My word, your word. Or epistles, or a letter. But what is interesting, hold to the traditions. So if we, you know, get together on Wednesday, we get together on Sundays, you might consider that a tradition. That wasn't in the Bible. How did they figure it out? It doesn't matter. The Jews had tradition. They get together on Saturday. Okay? The word tradition, it came a certain way. That we preach 3 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours. That's what man, you know, tradition. Nevertheless, there's good traditions and there are bad traditions. Paul is talking about good tradition by word. And he says here that traditions that are good traditions will always build you up. We are not here to destroy you. We're not here for you to get tired and, you know, and fall off from the balcony like Paul was talking about, you know, preaching 12 o'clock midnight. You got tired and he fell off and died, right? You know, the only way you can die here is that you go to sleep and you snap your neck or something like that, you know. But nevertheless, we do like Paul did. We revive you and we tell you, see, still, we're not done. You know, we're not finished, so get up. So, traditions are not bad, not all of them. Excuse me. Whatever by word or by epistles. 2:17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good, again, word. It's lowercase. We're not talking about the word of God. We talk about we should, you know, encourage each other with good words, you know. It could be out of the Bible, but, you know, it cannot be. I mean, a good word, you know, could be I love you. I mean, it's in the Bible too, but I just, you know, we miss you. A good smile, you know. So, and works, you know, we should always encourage people unto good work. Provoke them. It's the word that the Bible says. Provoke each one to good work. So your word should also provoke people. Not to get sad. Not to get mad. Not to get angry. You know, if people are that way, your word should lift them up. Whatever you have to say, if you have nothing to say, Brother Barnes said, God bless you. That's all. So the reason I'm talking about this, because this is the sign of these days also. It's a falling away that is happening. Not only are they in the denomination, we know that. But in this message, there's some that are falling away. Uh-huh. We have come to that point now. Before that man of perdition, this has to happen. Paul thought, you know, that they were going to make the rapture. They didn't know 7 ages, so 5 more, 6. But he thought that the rapture would happen with them. They were ready. So he says, you know, before we take off, this has got to happen. So don't listen to people that are saying he's coming here, he's coming there, and their own revelation and this and that. He says, don't get trouble with that. This must happen first. So he's telling them also, if you're not falling away, you don't have to worry. But if you are, then you need to get worried, right? He says, this is the sign of the end time. And finally, this is the manifestation also of those that are falling away, evildoers. Hey, man, you can be seated. I know you're going to be sitting for a long time, so that's a good Now you can rest, but don't go to sleep. So I'm going to use 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to start with verse 1 to 36. Maybe I don't cover them all, but I'm going to take a context from there, because I believe that that's the path that it is for a servant or a Christian. Is the approved way, the approved path, you know, in the time of apostasy. So I'm going to show you what was going on then, during, before the apostasy, that never happened because he didn't know. But he says, it's at work already. So what we're going to see from 2 Timothy, verse 1, I'm going to start. Paul is going to talk about the conduct and testimony of a true Christian, of a true servant. This is what the truth is, and this is what it's not. You got to compare. It's just a lot of, you know, that compare things with others. So servant during the Christ in the time of apostasy. And the thing that was going on in his time, it was a decline spiritually. The church was declining. Remember that the Bible said the church of Ephesus, they left the what? The first love. And after that, they started declining. And they started declining because Brother Brown says, he expressed it this way. He says, they left the love for a good Holy Ghost filled meeting. So it was already in the time of Paul. That's what he thought. The rapture happened in my time. I seen the decline spiritually. I see what the people are doing. I see what they're looking. I see what they want. And I've seen that we are closer. So tonight, I think we are that close. It is going to happen. What he thought it was going to happen yesterday is happening today. So he was in Asia. And he said that not everybody in Asian province kind of, but let me give you the let me see if I found it. It was 2:15, but I think I lost it. Well, I will find it later. Anyway, but I'm trying to give you a background. What happened, that Paul was in Asia, and all the churches in Asia, not all of them, they started rejecting Paul. He said, they all left me. See, that's why he knew something was happening. That's how we knew things were getting closer, because he was rejected. Whatever he established then, they now started pushing him out. Now he started rejecting him. So here in 2:15, I read you that one. 2:17, comfort your heart. And here we see, let me see if I found it. I think it's, let me see if I lost it. You know, that's happened. When you get old, that's what happened. You lose things. You don't lose anything. You misplace things, I think. And I wanted to reach you that verse. But I don't want to hold you here. We get it. We get it sooner or later. Anyway. So, anyway, that was the background. Some Christian was departing from the faith, you know, departing from the doctrine that was preached unto them. And that's what Paul says. You know, they had left me because they were departing for the truth that was revealed to them through Paul. And that is the proof of apostasy. When people start just kind of falling away. And today, this is not the denominations. In this message, there's many people falling away. Right now we have, without mentioning no names, after 30 years of preacher serving, now he decided that this is not the way. And he want to find another way. I don't know what way, but I don't want to go that way. And another one, you know, decided that, hey, here we are in the age, church age. You know, this, they are their own. I mean, we don't have no more prophet for them. Only 7. So who is going to become the prophet? Them. They become the one that you have to follow. Is that the revelation? 7 thunders. You know, some are looking back for Brother Branham to come back and finish the work, you know? What is all this if it's not departing from the faith that was delivered to them from the beginning? Sure. So we are here already. So some of them, you don't have to follow any doctrine, so maybe you don't have to follow any private revelation. But also people start setting a system within church. It's called legalism. See? That's another way to depart from what you already know, because the only one that had the authority in the church is the Holy Spirit. No man. So as soon as we start getting legalistic about it, and the reason that we have churches, maybe it's because some people like that kind of legalism. See? What to do, who to marry, where to go, where to eat, you know, where you need to work, how much you need to give. That's legalism. Here we don't practice legalism. That is departing from the truth. Yes, amen. Brother Branham says here in his position of the 7-8 churches, if they get the true revelation that the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, see, Satan will be powerless before her. Did I give you this too? No? So what are you looking at? Maybe you're looking at. Hey, that's all I gave you? No. Go back to the top. Let me see. Man, I messed up real bad this time. No, wait a minute. Oh, okay, that's the beginning. Thank you. Just go up slowly. See, we get to to where we need to go. Yeah. Come on. Sorry, we. Okay. Yes. Right. So I'm probably didn't give you this one. Just stay right there then. So when she can discern, when the church can discern the two spirit, what is the two spirit? The spirit that is away from the real spirit. That means that now she can discern the spirit of apostasy. Because the spirit of apostasy is the spirit that falls away, that leaves. See? But there is a spirit that will stay with the word. We love the word. We love the truth. And there is a group that's going to stay with the word. But it's another group that is going to fall away from the truth, from that word. So when she can understand, discern, that's the two spirits working in the church, Satan will be powerless. Now, let's go now for that, the context here. 2 Timothy 1:7. I want to start. Okay. For God has not given us, this is Paul talking to Timothy and the Christians of that time. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Fear. Fear is what paralyzes you. Fear is what paralyzes me. Fear is what paralyzes the church. And fear comes in all kind of shape and form and fashions. Fear doesn't mean only that you're scared. You know, if you have anxiety, that is a form of fear. Anxiety can paralyze you. Not only that, but being in distress, depression. Now, all these things, fear takes all kind of forms. So it's not because you're scared. Nobody can scare me. Yeah, nobody can. But what about when we see something that is really terror, horror, you know? We get paralyzed. We get shocked. Man, I don't believe that happened in that church. Yeah, and believe, because this thing happened. So it comes in all kind of fashions. So I'm going to talk about that later on a little bit more. But right now, I want you to know then Paul says power. He says, not fear, but of power. And the only power that I know is the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of this gospel that can change our lives. Day by day. And that is, how can we overcome our fears? Because if we don't overcome our fears, then we're back to where we were to begin with. But he says also love, because love is what chases away fears. Amen. So Paul is telling Timothy, don't fear. Tell your people, don't fear. Because there's something greater than that fear. You always will live with fear. I'm nervous when I came up here. Nervousness is a kind of a fear. Fear that I'm going to make a mistake. Fear that I'm going to be a failure because I'm going to say the wrong thing. Fear because I don't know if I don't finish and I pass out. Fear, that's anxiety, that's fear. And it will be with you. But you can overcome it. I can overcome it. With what? Love and the Holy Spirit. So once I stand here and I start talking, I forget about all that. But that don't mean, because the Bible said love casts away fear, that you will not see it anymore. It's gone. No. It will always be there. Satan will always be there to poke you somehow. Okay? Make you depressed or make you stressed out. Stressed out is a kind of a fear. Stressed out is a fear that, wow, I got all this work, Brother Manuel, and I cannot finish it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in charge of all this group, and my, I got a schedule to meet. And then you get stressed out. But that fear that you would not be able to finish things. See? And then what happens? Stress brings what? Diseases, sickness. And what it do? It paralyzes you. Because now you're so tired, you can't even come to church. Because all day long it's just a stress, and then you get all depressed. That's a kind of a fear, and that's a tactic that Satan will use. Because the Bible tells me that he is my strength. His joy is my strength. So if I feel down and out, I have a heavy day, I was tired, you know, when I walk through those doors, I'm expecting something. I'm expecting that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, that I'm not going to go home until 10 or 11 o'clock. By the time I go to sleep, it's 12. Anyway, I'm not relying on me, on my ways. Well, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I put some music, and I rub my feet, or whatever you do, and I put some lotion, you know, some lavender, or sleeping thing, calm. It never works anyway. See, it's good to use those things. Go ahead, I don't mind to use lavender and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is, you can figure it all out. To at least convince yourself that you are in control and you can do something about it. But you can do nothing about it. But when you go to bed, I only know one thing. God, you are my strength. I need some rest. I need to rest tonight because I need to go back to work tomorrow. You can give me the rest that I have need. So I'm depending on him for my rest. I don't depend on my schemes. You know, we do a lot of schemes. That's the reason with fear. You know, one of the things about fear is that we make things like a catastrophe. We make a mountain out of a mole of sand. But you know why we do those things? Because we want to know what to do when I get there and this happened, that it never happens anyway. See, we start saying, wow, when I get there, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get nervous, and I'm going to get all bent out of shape. But, wait, I got to, see, it's just trying to figure out what we do when this happens, that it never happens, and you never have to do anything, because you don't have to. I've been there, and I've done that. In the Army, when I got out of the Army, I have anxieties. I still have some once in a while. I get, because the PTS and all this, I get panic attack, nervous attack. I used to. Most of the stuff is gone, but they still like to come around and poke me sometimes. But see, the thing is that I'm depending on the Lord. And all these years, I'm talking years now, the Lord has brought me to a point that I can overcome those things. They still come, but I can overcome them. See? So that's what I say. Sometimes we think that we can do, and we do go through all this scheme. It was a guy that one day he was driving, or one night he was driving in the lonely road. It was dark, and his car broke down. It was wooded. It was like a lot of trees. It was like a jungle. And then he started thinking and got scared, you know. Wow, what am I going to do now? And then it's dark, and he gets scared. And I don't know what happened to the car. What happened? Something happened. Somebody comes and blah, 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 and they kill me. Oh, wait a minute. I better go and get some help. But where? I don't know where I am. I don't know if it's a house. And what if it start walking and an animal tear me apart and killed me? You see? It gets worse. And he says, and then what happened if I get to whatever the house and those people here, who knows? They got guns in the field like this. And what about they shoot me thinking I am somebody that is going to go and steal or somebody that is roaming around to get something? Oh, by the time he found the house, he was so convinced that all this thing will happen. So he knocks in the door, you know, kind of far away as far as he could. And no answer. So he started kind of getting scared now. This guy's going to come out with a gun and he's going to shoot me. And then he just kind of started backing up and the door suddenly opened. And he says, forget it. I don't need anything. I'm okay. And he ran away. I mean, that's how people are. Sometimes you get to the point that you make yourself the way. Sometimes we act that way because we make ourselves that. He lost all his blessing. That guy could have helped him. He would have got his car fixed. But his mind, we're going to talk about this a little later. Why? Sometimes we go through these things, distress and anxieties and fears. And what we do is that we get so bent out of shape that the devil takes an opportunity. And that's why we don't come to church sometimes. And that's why sometimes we don't do the work of the Lord. And that's why sometimes we are so tired. Now sometimes, you know, well, I cannot do it tonight. I'm so sick. Well, all the stress and all this stuff. We're going to see this in a little bit. It says, love is a powerful force. See? Sound mind. God designed this way. See? Because he wants you to live a life that is full of love and power. He don't want you to live a life of scary all the time and fearful. There's no need for that. Not even from the devil. The devil don't have nothing on you. In fact, he's more scared of you than you are of him. Because he's scared that you find out who you are and what you can do. And that's why he put all these things so you can be more preoccupied with other things than who you are. Because he knows if you get to that point, it's done. It's done. So, we need to live a life of power. But this comes with a strong relationship. The more we know him, the more we love him, and the more love casts away all fears. So the closer you get to God, the more closer you get to God, you should not even think about fear any longer. I mean, it's there, but it don't bother you because you will be the challenge to Satan things. And that's why he's afraid. Brother Brown says when he comes like a flood with all these things, he raises a standard. See? And he's afraid that if that happens, he's done. He cannot scare you. He cannot scare me. He cannot use all his tactics that he's always used. So at the end, you have a peaceful mind. If you have a calm body, you will have a calm mind. See? And no matter what's going around you, I don't care if it's chaos. I don't care if the world is falling apart. There's a calm on you. Why? Because you know who you are, what you are, and you have a word that is powerful than any. There's no weapon created that can even do anything to you. So then you are filled with joy. Why? Because your mind is in him and not in the things that are happening. And that's what happened in the day of Paul. Their mind was more in what is going on out here than what is going on up there. So what happened is that the body is neutral. See, the body is not either positive or negative. It's just what we call neutral. So the way your feelings go, you know, is how your body's going to go. See? So the way you think is how your feelings are going to go. So if you're scared, what do you think is going to happen to your body? It's going to get all nervous. It's going to get all tense. It's going to be out of shape, see? But it didn't come because your mind told you that you have fears. What happened is that something You know, is Satan always spoke and put thoughts in your mind. See? And when he put a thought in your mind and you buy that thought, you lost. We lost because that's what he wants to do. That will control your body. That will send a signal to your brain. I'm scared because this and this. And your body says, oh, no, we got to protect ourselves. We got to survive. Send everybody out there, whatever, you know, and then the nervous system start working. And then the response, and then you are shaking. Why? Because it responded to something that came here. And you said, oh, you see. But what about if you don't respond to that? What are you about if you change your thinking? And now you said, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my protection. And then let it come, whatever it comes. You're not entertaining that part. So what? Your body says, okay, this is another thinking, another thought. And the brain says, okay, hey, let's calm. Because now you're thinking positive thoughts. See? So usually when we fear is because we're entertaining the wrong thoughts. But Brother Branham says, if you said you are a drunk, might as well be because you will be a drunk. The word that comes out of your mouth is very powerful. But the word that comes out of your mouth from heaven, what is the word that is in heaven be done in earth, is just and more powerful than Satan's word that comes through your mouth. This is neutral. Whatever spirit that we yield to, it's going to reign. So you say you're tired, I'm not coming to church. I'm sorry, I won't mention that much too much. What is going to happen? Your body is going to do? I'm tired. But it's not your fault. It's just you entertaining the wrong thought. Well, I think I'm going to get sick tonight. I think I'm catching the flu. Well, it seems to me like you are in the field. They are playing ball with your glove. Okay, here come. I'm catching it. Well, my goodness, just change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, the whole feeling will change. Hey, you can choose to be happy or be mad just by the way you think. You know, it's all about who is controlling who. That's what I tell you. Your body cannot control anything. There's only two things control. It is God or Satan. What thought are we going to entertain? We will decide the way we are going to go. Now, let's continue here. 2 Timothy 1:8 said, but be not therefore ashamed of the testimony. So he's telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So don't be ashamed because they tell you that they took me and I went to prison. See? Because they're going to tell you, see, that guy, all that he did and what he done and all the miracles and all the preaching and all this time, and look at where he ended up. So don't be ashamed of that. It's just like saying, look at what Brother Branham did, all his ministry, and he got killed in a car accident by a drunkard. Wow, is that the kind of guy you're following? He said, don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of the testimony that is in you, the testimony of our Lord. So that tells me that some people were having problems. That if I testify, if I said anything, if I mention that I'm a Branhamite, that will kind of, put me in the wrong place. See? But he said, but thou be partaker of my afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So see, so when we get afflicted, don't worry about it. If it's for the gospel. Now, if it is because we make stupid mistakes, that's a different story. Peter said, if you suffer because you make a mistake, an error, then there's no, God don't get no glory out of that. It was your fault. Admit it. I was wrong, and that's all. Get back within. But if you get afflicted or you get by the gospel because you was testifying or because you went to church and something happened to you, well, the Lord says over here, according to the power of God, the God that lets you go into that, he allows Satan to do certain things, but he also has the power to deliver you from that when it happens. So he says, partake of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power. God is not going to give you something that is going to overtake you. And then temptation that comes that can, break you. Because God is still in control and the power of God controlling things. Amen. So when he allows things to happen, he also gives you the door out, the solution. Amen. So when you see temptation and affliction and sickness, God is going to be glorified. Now we look at a different story. I'm sick. Oh, this hurts here. Yes, yes. Oh, that's true. And I'm trying to be insensitive. But the thing is, God is going to get glory out of that. If we just be still and wait on the Lord. He says, so here Paul keeps talking. And I think he was talking about the fear. People were fearful, ashamed, because of the danger that was going on in those days in Asia, persecution, things that were going against the church that stopped them from being and discouraged them from the Christian walk. And he said, don't do that. Don't fear. Just continue. I, Timothy, might end up in jail like Paul, but it doesn't matter. See, God holds the future. See, that's what I'm peace, because I don't matter what happened to me. I know what God is doing. Maybe I don't understand, but I know my future. And I cannot die no more than God can die if I got the Holy Ghost. So what I'm worried about, what this is going to do to me, when the Bible says that there's no weapon, nothing that can be created that can destroy me. They can take the body, but my soul, they cannot destroy. God is the only one, it says, that can destroy the soul. See, and Paul is telling them, don't be fearful of the difficulties in church today. It's a lot of people with a lot of difficulties. And what is the first thing they do? They go down some places and listen to somebody else, you know, finding, you know, all the people to ask him, what do you think? What do you think? You know, if you want to know, just ask the Lord. Go to the doctor. See, you're supposed to go to the doctor. And let it tell you what's wrong with you. But then now you know how to pray and how to ask for prayer. But I'm saying difficulties should not never, you know, damage our testimony. It should be, in fact, it should be a credit to your testimony, because this is going to be passed also. This will pass. And people will see and say, I don't understand how you are you still standing. I mean, after all that. Well, it's a testimony that God is still at work, that God is a healer. Listen, you cannot tell somebody that God is a healer when you have never experienced healing in your body. That becomes theoretical. But we don't need theoretical Christian. We need Christians that are being, you know, that they have experience and they have practice, you know, in the gospel of Lord. So all these things happen for a reason. But some of them, they were kind of getting discouraged. And, you know, because the situation. Listen, there are going to be things that is going to happen. COVID, of course. You think that this is bad? Prevan says the worst thing will come. Don't get discouraged. But so many people are dying. Don't get discouraged. But I'm going to go to church. So I'm not going to, because I'm afraid that I'm going to catch it. Well, you're going to catch it anyway, because you already said you're going to catch it. You know, I go to church, cash or not cash. I'm just going to go to church. Amen. See? It's just the way we think sometimes. It will keep us from being, to have a good testimony in our lives. So don't blame the pastor, don't blame the church. It's the way we think. If you, Brother Van says, if you come to church and you think that sister didn't shake your hand, didn't look at you, you start imagining things, see, we start to add more to it. Well, she didn't even talk to me. She just went by me and I was going to, and she kept going, but she don't like me. Well, anyway, I'm going to talk to her neither. Something wrong with her. See, and the further you go, the worse it gets. Now you got the sister out of the church completely. You know, she's no good and blah, 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 blah. And now I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to even see her. I don't want to even see her in pictures. If I see her in the street, I walk to the other side of the road. I want to even walk where she's walking. See, why? Just for one little thought that we said, she kind of looked crooked at me. So find out what she looked crooked at you. Maybe she wasn't even looking at you. That's why she didn't see you. That's why she didn't say hi. But our imagination, see, the time without thinking. See, the best thing to do, and it always worked for me, if you think somebody has done something to you, if you think something happened, the best thing is go and ask. Unless the pride don't let you. One day I was not in this church, in the other one, I thought someone had something, or I had done something, I don't know, because every time I around them, I just had a funny feeling, you know? And I don't like funny feelings. And I don't like to keep my mouth shut too long. I think just long enough. And then I said, I'm going to find out. So that night we had communion. And the brother says, make all things right now before communion. But I had that in my mind. The way he looked, the way he thought, the way he do things, this couple, you know. And I said, man, something. So I went and talked to him. I said, not to his wife, because I went and talked to him. I said, there's something wrong between you and me. There's something that happened, something that I had done to cause. I feel like, you know, something is going on. He says, let me think. No. Okay. So I'm making it up because I had to take his word. You know, a man only works for whatever his word was. And he told me that it was a no, that everything was okay between him and me. I haven't done anything. Regardless how I feel, I had to take his word. If his words is no good, that's not my problem. When that's between him and God. But I did what I knew to do right. So I said, okay then. Shook his hand, let's go. Then my mind changed completely. I don't care when I see him, what he do. He says, we're cool. Everything is okay. So listen, don't go home and lose a night's sleep. Not for me. I'm not worth it for you to lose a night's sleep. If something is wrong, go and find out. You owe it to me, you owe it to your sister, you owe it to your brother, you owe it to anybody. Because you know what? Satan started working on that. And further, you are far further than you wanted to go with this thing. And if they said, no, take it. That is the word. Move on. Everything is cool. Because at the end, it's on him, it's not on you. So, Paul is reminding Timothy and trying to encourage him that the mercy and grace of God will keep him. The grace and mercy, the power of God will preserve him. And all these things, he will give him strength day by day. That was the proof of the ministry. See? That is the proof that God is with us. When his word is vindicated through you. Because if it's not, then there's something wrong. See, Paul is talking to Timothy and his ministry. But see, you are the result of this ministry. You are, Peter says, Joel 2:28, that message, that is me. The message, here it is, it's me. You are the product of what is preached from this pulpit. You might say, well, that's just, he's talking to the ministry. No, but who, the ministry, you are the proof of the ministry. So whatever we preach, if it's preached under inspiration by the Holy Ghost, it should produce something in your life. And I'm going to get to that a little bit more, to that, because some of us profess, not us, but in general, we profess to be Christian, but what is the beef? We can sit down in church for years and years and we professing something, but if you're professing that this is the right thing, they have to produce something. That is the proof. Amen. That we're in the right track. That is the proof that the word is being preached from the pulpit, the right word, the right doctrine. You know, when he produces something in your life, if he don't, I will be worried about it. I won't be here if that don't happen. But Paul's trying to remind him. He says, which was the proof of Paul's ministry. See, Timothy was a product of his ministry. And he's telling the same thing. Preach the gospel. You are the proof of this ministry. In fact, the only reason that God sent a prophet, it was for you. But if it wasn't nobody to believe this message, what was the proof of the prophet that God sent them? Amen. You are the proof that there is a message. You are the proof that it was a prophet. You are the proof that God sent a prophet. Why? Because you believed it. That's all. You are a living testimony that we are in the right track. Because if it wasn't so, it wouldn't be nobody here. How can God send a prophet when there's not going to be nobody to believe it? The only reason God sent a prophet is because there were some people that were going to believe this message. And you are it. You are the proof of this ministry. So, furthermore, we're not preaching hate. Are we preaching hate? Racial hate? Are we preaching, you know, something that is going on all over this nation? Are we preaching all that stuff? You know why they don't produce that here? Because we don't preach that. But we produce the word of God in our lives. God is love. God will forgive. You know, when he was in the cross, that's what we preach. And we see the result of the preaching. You see the result of the people are there. All this fighting and all this killing and all these things at school now. I mean, school is getting terrible. Teaching the kids even books that are explicit sexually. It's a case in court, they're fighting because the parents don't want to decide what the children can do and cannot do, read and not read, you know, when it comes to sexuality and things like that. But the district are saying, no, we decide what to teach your children. And they're introducing all kind of filth. Yeah. But we knew. See, we're coming to apostasy. We're already in. That is the way it will happen. The degradation of the nation, you know, finances, school, government. We are here. Not too long, something should happen. This nation is completely degraded. And even Christianity no longer is what it used to be. They're persecuting Christianity. Now if you're a Christian, you're in the minority. You're not in the, like it used to be, different. So Paul is talking about the proof of the ministry. And you are the proof that there is a ministry in these days, in the last days. So Paul is trying to add another element to this. Not only fear or anxieties or this or that stress, but he also is talking about unfaithfulness. And he added this to the rest of the, you know, his complaints. Said, don't be fearful, don't do this, and don't be unfaithful. See? I'm going to tell you what happened there. Because the faith of many people were given away. And today it's happening the same way. The faith that we once was delivered unto us, people are getting away from that faith. And once we start doing that, we are being what? Unfaithful. To who? Not to the church, not to me. You've been unfaithful to who? To God. See, not you, but I mean, this is what's happening in these days. So, many were forsaking Christianity for something that they could see, they could taste, they could hear. They didn't want the unseen anymore. See, that was too hard for them, the unseen. How can you figure that out? Nobody can figure God. You only can believe God. But they wanted something more tangible, something that they can put their hands on, and something that they can control. You know? But see, they don't want the Holy Ghost, but they want to have control, like the Laodicean church. We know the church, what happened to the Laodicean church? Unfaithfulness. We know, we don't need to go and look at it, you know this. We don't have no need of this. We don't have no need of you. We have our own doctrines. We have our own riches. We have our own everything. But they put them outside. So they become unfaithful to him. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. You have nothing to do with this. I don't have nothing to do with this. Nothing that I could do to merit this. So if I don't have nothing to do, do I have a choice in the matter? No, my only choice is, yes, do unto me. But I don't have no choice to try to figure out God and what he should do. That's why we walk away from God. But we start doing something that is against his word. But according to his purpose and grace, says, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, according to his grace and mercy, not our works, he has given us. He has called us. He has elected us for his purpose. Amen. You have nothing to do with this. In fact, you should be happy. Amen. That you can hear. If you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. If you have that ear, you should be the most blessed people in here. And you have nothing to do with that. He calls you. Yes. You did not just decide, well, I think I become a Christian this morning. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to give my life to God. No. If he didn't do that on you, if he didn't draw you, you will never come. We will never come. So nothing that I have to do. So 2 Timothy 1:12, for this, for the which cause also suffer this thing. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The thing, what is the thing? He says, the things, the hardship, the afflictions. He was in prison. The thing he had to suffer, we didn't even have time to mention them all. He says, those things, it don't mean nothing. So you know what that tells me? I should not make a big thing about what happens to me. Why? Because it had nothing to do. He says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep. So I don't care what happens. I don't care what my future. I don't care where I end up. It doesn't matter. Because he's the one that keeping me. He's the one that protects me. And I committed to that day. The things, his hardship, his imprisonment. You know, it says 1:13, hold fast to the form of sound words. It's, you know, sound doctrine. People were getting away from sound doctrines. Which thou hast heard of me. And faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So they were departing for the teachings, his teachings. Now, 2 Timothy 4:5 says, he said, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. It says endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. He's talking to Timothy. Make a full proof of thy ministry. You are the full proof of this ministry. And so far, I don't have any complaint. So if it's a complaint, it's not because the full ministry had not done their part. Because if it was another ministry there that is doing, then we could go. We have choices. The only reason I'm here is because God sent me here. And if God sent me here, then the proof of this ministry is that my life is changing. I've seen my life changing since I've been here all these years. That's not Brother Doug. Brother Doug can't do anything. He's just a man just like me. It has to be God. Yes. And if you recognize that, then there won't be no complaining about it. In fact, if you have something to complain, that don't come from the ministry. You cannot blame the ministry or the deacons or anybody. That comes from other side. That's the double thoughts. Listen, we love you and we care. Listen, there's not enough money you can pay me to stand here and preach to you. You're a bunch of scary kind of people. Anyway, you scare me sometimes. Anyway, I don't even get paid. Listen, I went to Mexico for 20 years. Never received a penny. Did you think I wanted a penny? No, I had a good job. God gave me a good job, and I had enough money. I didn't have to go out there and take their little bit of money that they have or beg for money. In fact, I used to give them my money. You know, I will give more than I get. And I never minded. 20 years going to Mexico, didn't care. I didn't do it for the money. I didn't do it for I worked. I had a job. So I can support myself and can do this ministry. So this was just a love act. Because I love the people, because I love this word. This is not because we want to do something. We want to control, have control. Oh, I have a good reputation. You go to Mexico and you mention my name, nobody knows who I am. In fact, to today, if I go places, people don't know who I am. And do you think I care? No. I'm not here for a reputation. And you know the reason sometimes I don't and I don't care is because I'm on the shadow of a Brother Doug. And you think that bothers me? When we used to go to Africa, we used to go to Mexico, they remember Brother Doug. Do you think they remember the guy that, you know, do all that translation? No. But I don't mind to be the shadow of Brother Doug. Because I know that that is what God called me to do. And I am happy to do any little thing. I don't need no reputation. God didn't make a reputation. Jesus says, just Brother Doug, just preach it. If that is the case, then I'm in the wrong place doing the wrong things. We do this because we love you, we care, and we want to, like the ministry is supposed to get you ready, mature, to grow, so we can be capped and leave this place. That's all I care, that we get ready. So don't think that because all these things that happens to us, all this affliction, we're supposed to endure it if you're doing it for the right reasons. See? So he said, endure affliction and do the work. See, and you will see the proof of your ministry. You do these things. See? In the right way. Questions and answers. Brother Brown says, would the bride of Christ, are we in the right place now? Okay. Yeah. Would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Sure. That's what's going on right now. That was 16 years ago. Right now. See, the bride of Christ, certainly, it is the message of the hour. See, it says, the bride of Christ, sure. She consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? That's right. The bride of Christ, sure. She got a ministry, a great ministry, the ministry of the hour. And it's going to be so humble. You know what that means? It's not going to be a show. Brother just said that the other day. If we are looking for revivals and we are looking for big things to happen, and I want to see the dead rise, and I want to see the ministry that Brother Branham had on those, the 60s and whatever, the 40s. Listen, I'm not saying that that is over, but it's not going to be in the open any longer. See, the church is going to be built in simplicity, in humbleness. When they build the term Temple of Solomon, it was no tools, but the Holy Ghost. It was no noise. Nobody was claiming to be and screaming and having all this, you know. It was just the rock placed next to it. They would be cut someplace. But once you make it to the temple, the way they used to fit those rocks together was by rubbing the frogs, no tools, no noise. You know, rubbing until the rock makes a nice fit. You know, so if I'm still rubbing against you, don't take me wrong. It's not doing it because I'm mean, because I want a fit. You know, all the things that happen to you and me, all the affliction, all the thing is just because God is building. And it's going to be in silence. It's going to be no noise. It's going to be no screaming. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to scream or holler or man and run around. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the word that God is doing in our life. It's not going to be. But the Branham always tried to explain. First pull, second pull. The Spirit has to tell him, don't do that, because he did. And what happened? He created confusion. Everybody tried to what? To imitate him. It won't be no longer a copy. It won't be no imitation. This is so humble that even Satan will not be able to see it. See? So, ministry, great ministry. She will have that ministry. Brother Branham says here, also, we are a continuation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all the things that the early church stood for. We are what the Alpha church had, we have it also. So that means that your ministry, that you say, well, I'm not a minister. And we're not talking about ministry. We're talking about ministry, not ministers. You have a ministry. You are the result of the ministry. And your ministry is to minister. You are a high priest interceding. Amen. See, you have a ministry. See? And it's the ministry of reconciliation. You go out there and you try to reconcile some to God. That is not only belongs to the ministry. It belongs to you. You have a ministry. You got a gift. And Brother Branham says that this is the continuation of the ministry of what? That Jesus Christ started. You are a continuation. So there you have a ministry. Therefore, because you're going to say, but this is talking to you guys, to the ministers and those that are apostles. No. You are also part of the ministry. And you know why? Because Christ is not only me or the ministry or the deacon. Christ is in you. You are the bride and he is in you. So don't tell me that Christ in you is not going to do anything. He wants to finish what he started 2,000 years ago. And you are the one that need to labor, co-labor with him, so this thing gets done and we can get out of here. Brother Brown says, he says, Shalom. Let me read you 14 that I didn't read you. 2 Timothy 1:14. The good things which was committed unto then keep by the Holy Ghost which dwell in us. What is the good things? Well, the sacred trust. You know, like a man and a woman. Andy talks about trust. I'm glad that he talked. Because it's a sacred trust between the bride and the bridegroom. And she's trusted. God trusts that. It's a power in trusting. That's why Andy, and I'm going to go through that, but that's what he preached. There's a trust. And that is a good thing, he says, that was committed unto you by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in you. See? That dwells in you. So this is not you doing it, but it's he himself doing it. God in you. This is what Brother Brown says in Shalom. Now, closely listen. Do as David did. Put your future in his hand. How? What I am to know, what am I to know what to do? Brother Branham, put your future, he says, in his hand. No matter what comes or goes, trust him. Either if you understand it or you don't understand it, you need to trust God that he's doing it for your own benefit. He says, trust him. He is the word. No, David said, his time is in my hand, in his hand. God, trust in him all the time. Now when you decide not to trust him, it's all the time. Always trust him, he says. He knew who held the future. David did. That's the reason he could say this. There is only one holds the future, that is God. So hold the future. Let him hold you. So the only way we're going to overcome fears, the only way we are going to overcome negative thinking, the only way we're going to overcome ourselves is to trust God. Now, there is a little fine line here. Because some people say, I trust God, but I don't trust the preacher. Too late. You heard what Andy says. No, but the Bible said, trust any man. Curse is a man that will trust. Yes, but we heard what Brother Branham says. Trust your pastor. Because if you don't trust your pastor, you know, you will never can get ahead. You can never grow. How can you grow? How can you even, you know, become a full mature when we are not trusting? So who are you trusting? But I'm trusting God. You know, that is, I cannot figure that one out. Because, first of all, when you have a man and a woman, and a woman's supposed to trust the man, right? That's why you got married. You didn't get married, I don't know why, if it wasn't based on trust and love. So, if you're not going to do what the man, now assuming, I'm not assuming, God says, man, love your wife, and wife what? Submit, trust your husband. So if your husband loves you and love God, then there's no choices here. I mean, there's no excuse why not to trust your husband. The same thing with the Lord. If he's doing everything for you, he loved you, he provides for you, he protects you, he heals you, because we trust him, right? How can you not trust God? He wants the best of you. So, trust. So, this is what I was getting at. Now, the wife said, but I'm trusting God. You cannot trust God if you cannot trust your husband. If your husband is doing what he's supposed to do, you cannot do it. Because you think that God is going to tell you something different than your husband is going to tell you. Your husband is trying to lead you the right way. He's trying to lead the family. You know, teach the children in the way they should go, following God. He loves the children. He loves the wife. So, Can you do better than that? I'm not saying this. I'm saying this because sometimes we like to, you know, how I say this without not offending anybody, but sometimes, wives, you need to trust your husbands. I don't know who is this for, but you need to trust your husband. You that have a husband. And if you don't have a husband, you trust the pastor. If you have any problem, you know, widows and people that marry, this is where you come. Not me. The pastor will be at least the one that will guide you and lead you in all the spiritual things, because you cannot go and ask the other man, who man you going to ask? You don't know who you're going to trust, but you can trust the ministry. See? So what I'm saying is, we trust God, but you cannot trust God if you don't trust, you know, the pastor. How kind of a trust is that? Or a husband, like you cannot trust your husband. How kind of a marriage is that? You know? So that is all I'm saying about that. I don't know why I said that, but I don't know. Maybe somebody's needed that there in the internet land, whatever, in the wide web, whatever. So, to overcome the fears and prevent us, you know, to walk and to walk the daily walk and be faithful to God, we need to do a few things. This is what Hebrew, I need to get going. Okay, I think I've got 15 minutes. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, or brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Okay, he's our high priest of our what? Profession, confession. Okay, that's what he's saying. Now, 2 Timothy 1:11 said, therefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Amen. See, you need to be sure of your calling and your election. Not me. If you're sure that he calls you and he's sure that you are one chosen one, then walk worthy of that call. And fulfill all that God pleasure and his goodness. Fulfill all his pleasure, good pleasure, and his goodness. And the work of faith with power. Now, this is what Brother Brown says. And I'm getting, this is what I wanted to get. Listen close. You will never live above your confession. So you can tell me everything you want to, but if your body is not, you know, you can preach a sermon to me, but if you're not living the sermon, if we are not living that sermon, you can never live, it says, above your confession. That's why sometimes people come to church for years and years and they never change. Because the confession, the thought, the thinking is wrong. Because how can you or me profess what the word said of God and will not be produced? If I believe, if I confess and I believe with all my heart, something got to happen. So if you profess and I profess that we are what we are, then something should happen. Right? Let me continue. Jesus is the high priest of that confession. Is that right now? Hebrews 3:11. Now, any scholar knows that the same word profession is confession. Two, same translated. Now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, make intercession upon what? Our confession. Oh, cannot do nothing for you until first, you confess, and he's done it. So, if you said you're sick. I'm not being sensitive. We get sick. But what we're going to confess? What will be the thinking? He is my healer. And he promised me deliverance. So, what thought am I going to entertain? Yes, I know. I get afflicted. Yes, I got a call. I got whatever. But I'm not going to dwell in the negative. That is what Satan do. See, he attack your body. Because I tell your body it's neutral, so he attacks your body. But my confession should be what? He is my healer. And you took coughing and hacking. Oh, I'm getting healed. In fact, he promised me. So now I can get up in the morning and I say, well, I'm not tired. Now, you know, I do that. Sometimes I get up and I go, and then everything hurts, and I say, I'm so tired. Well, I'm tired. Yeah, I already said it. I'm tired. But if what about if I... But brother, you're lying if you don't say you're tired. No, that is what I am, but that's not what I want to be. So I'm going to profess what I want to be. You want to be a good Christian? You need to confess that you are a good Christian. You want to be in church all the time, be open, you confess that you are a Christian that always go to church. And nothing will hold you back. It's the way we think. It's the way we think. He says, when you, he said, confess, he's done it. When you accept it. So it's not only good to just say it, but you got to accept it. He says, convinced, concerned. He says, now, there are so many people say, if you quiver, hold your eyes shut. He says, do all kind of things and get sensation. You get a spirit, friends. That's a spirit. You know, every time we start saying things like, oh, this hurt and that hurt and I don't feel good, that's a spirit. And we're going to entertain that. We know it's a spirit. And we know it hurts. I'm not telling you it don't hurt. But what is that but the spirit? Are we going to entertain the spirit? Or are we going to entertain the other spirit of God? He says, you got a spirit, friend, but if your life don't tally up with your what? Your profession. Then there's something wrong with your spirit. Now, I didn't say it. He said it. So, I'm a Christian. I should walk like a Christian. I should act like a Christian. Jesus, who went to the synagogue when it was open, when the door was open. I mean, you professing to be a Christian, yes or no? Then something should happen. Then there's something wrong with the spirit you got. See, is this true? See, you must be sure. Listen closely, because I'm going to close. I hope I don't close with it. It's kind of a down note, but I want to close. You must be sure. Not me. You must be sure. The Holy Spirit will bring forth a holy life. It's right. He says, and if the desire is in your heart, it starts with a desire. So if God puts a desire in your heart, how can that come true? He says, if you have the force, if you have to force yourself constantly, that means you always against the prick, you know. No, I'm not going to do that. No, he's against me. No, out of church too long, I get tired. No, you know what? You pressing. He says, the Holy Spirit, he says, to try to press, he said, you have to force yourself constantly. Let me say something, and I'm continuing saying, because this is the simple thing and the basic thing. If you force yourself to come to church, okay, that's okay. But don't stay that way. That's okay. But it says, if you continuously, it says, desire in your heart, you have to force yourself constantly to try to press and do what is right. It says, and the world is still hungering in you, because that's the only two forces here. Either we have the desire, or either some other desire has to take. You're not an empty. You could not go in empty. This body has to entertain something. It says, you continue to try to press and do what is right, and then the world is still hungering, so, or something else takes priority, is what he's saying. Then there's something wrong. Now, I'm not saying this. You don't have to get mad at the messenger. Here it is. Brother Brown said it to you. You want to get mad at him? That's fine with me. He says, then there's something wrong. See, the Holy Spirit in you will not hunger for the things of the world. Amen. So nothing should come between you and God, between God and me. Not even the world will be. He said, this Holy Spirit, you will not hunger for the... It will hunger for what? I'm here because I hunger for God. And how do you not hunger for God? I'm here. Okay, you're quiet. I figure you will be quiet. He says, then there is something wrong. See, the Holy Spirit in you will not hunger for the word, hunger for God. It is hard for you to go to church. If it is hard for you to go to church, wow, I told you I was not going to mention you, but he's doing it, not me. I told you I was not. If it is hard for you to go to church and press yourself to come when the church is open, there's something wrong. No, that's what he says. Because you're professing something, but we're doing something else. If you profess to be a Christian and you profess that you feel of the Holy Spirit will do what God desired to him to do. Amen. Oh, but you don't understand. No, I don't understand why we do what we do sometimes. He says, it's hard for you to go to church and press yourself to come when the church is open. There is something wrong with that spirit. It is trying to keep you away from God. That's what you need to realize, that you are a son, a daughter of God, but something is trying to keep you away from God. But I can have God at home. Yes, you can. But there's more God here than is at home. Because when two or three gathered together, there's more God here than at home. In fact, we got so many of us that we can create an atmosphere that we take care of whatever comes through those doors. Because sometimes you can church only 1,000. Come to church. 2 is 10,000. How many thousands we have here? Well, millions. So don't tell me we can fight more than you can fight in, you know. I'm not saying that you cannot do it. Supposed to pray. Supposed to do these things at home. He said, when the church is open, there's something wrong with the spirit. It's trying to keep you away from God. The spirit of God will run you right astray to the church every time the doors open for fellowship. Yes, sir. See? You have got to be sure of this now. The time is now. You heard it. What are you going to do with it? I didn't want to finish in the snow, but I'm going to finish on purpose. I got more stuff, but I'm just going to finish it. I want to let you think about this. Because you think it's me, you think it's Brother Doug, you think this is what the message said. Now you heard from the message. We keep going at it, going at it. Now you, and that's it, I'm done with that. But I wanted to show it to you. So, stand. I don't try to be hard. I just try to tell you what the message said, because there are some people that are apostatizing. And I don't want to be. This is the wrong time to do these things. And there's only one person out there. It's only one spirit out there, Satan's spirit, that wants you to miss what's going to happen next. People today are running from church to church, here and there and everywhere. You know? And they don't know what's going on. They're entertaining the wrong spirits. They blame the church. They blame the pastor. That's not the people. That's Satan's spirit working. Why? Because he wants to keep you away. Listen, my friend. We cannot live here until the last one is in. And if you are son or daughter of God, you have to be in, not out. You have to be in, full mature and growing. I don't want to say any more of this, but the point that I'm trying to say is we are living in the days where people are falling away. And I don't want you to fall away. I don't want to fall away. So I have to tell you what the truth is. I have to tell you, I'm responsible for telling you the truth. That if we change our thinking, we can change the way we feel about the pastor. We change the way we feel about the church. We change the way we feel about each other. If we entertain his thoughts, the thoughts of God never produce division. In fact, the thoughts of God always produce unity and fellowship. So if we are professing to be Christian and believe all this, where's the beef? Show me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, for Father, you are so good to us. You are so awesome. Father, we are here because you call us. Without you calling, we could not come. You drew us, Father, to you. And I am so thankful that it's nothing that I've done, Father. It was all you, Father. I was undone, without hope, without Christ. Father, I was out there in darkness, lost, deserving death. But your love, Father, you rescue me. How can I not love you? How can I not just come and have fellowship around your word with you? How can I just dismiss this and that? How, after you gave your life for me, after you pay a price, a great price, so I can be here. You gave me, you took my filthy rags and you gave me your white robes of righteousness. How can I serve you? How can I come? How can I praise you? How can I worship you? Father, we all, everything we are, we owe to you. Father, forgive us for sometimes laziness. Forgive us, Father, sometimes for our excuses. Forgive us, Father. After you have done such a marvelous work, you have shed your love abroad us, Father. You fill us with yourself, with your mind, with your word. How can we just do something different? That's not you. That's me. I got to get out of the way. I got to throw myself out of the way. My thinking is not worth anything. Your thoughts, your word, that's what I should be entertaining all the time. Father, that's why we get in trouble sometimes, when we entertain our own thoughts. Because your thoughts, Father, your ideas, they are perfect. And they will produce exactly what you send for to produce. Mine, chaos. I already tried them. You produce, but disunity, disaster, catastrophe. But your words, Father, produces love and kindness, humbleness. Father, we want to be shaped, we want to be formed, we want to be stripped away from all those things that is not pleasing to you, Father. We want to become exactly a model, Jesus Christ. Being God, he never took a reputation. He humbled himself. He suffered. He didn't even open his mouth. When they kicked him, when they did all kind of things, put that crown up, when they gave him lashes, and when they make him, after all that suffering, you did not open and your mouth. And when you opened, it was only to say, forgive them. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Father, and sometimes we need to keep our mouth shut. If it's not going to glorify you or profess who we are and what we are, and profess your word, Father, we should just keep. The Bible said that Abraham, you promised Abraham that he will keep the gate of his enemy. And the gate, Father, we are also in this age where we are living today, we are gatekeepers. Because we keep in the gate of our mind. Because that is the gate that Satan likes to come in. But the Bible said that we will possess the gate of our enemy. And the only enemy that I know is Satan. When he comes with a thought, I will not open my gate. It will not go in my heart. It will not tell my body what to do. I am the gatekeeper. I cannot probably do anything about the thinkings and about the thoughts. Like Brother Branham said, you cannot do anything about the bird flying. But you don't need to open the gate and entertain.
The only gate that we should open, keep it closed, and open the gate of our hearts and let you come and make our desires, our desires, your desire. But tonight, as gatekeepers, we should not let anything that is contrary to the word of God, that above any word of God, something that trying to assault itself beyond imagination, Father, we should not open that gate. When we open the gate and entertain thoughts that are not your thoughts, it will produce in this body what it produces. And that is not God. I don't want to. Father, it's too late. Help me to just only entertain your words, your thoughts, your ideas. Father, it costs you a great price for us just to dismiss your word so easily sometimes. Forgive us where we have faltered and made wrong choices, Father. But our desire is to do what you want us to do. I desire to you your purpose tonight. In everything that we do, bring glory and honor to your name, Father. It's all we want. Maybe it's not something big, but whatever little thing we can do for the kingdom of God, that is what I want to do. Just to sit in church and say amen, if that's the only thing. And Paul, that is what I want to do. No reputation, no nothing. I just want to do what you bet me to do, your purpose in my life. That is the greatest compliment that we can give you tonight. To believe your word with all our heart, accept it, and let the power of the Holy Ghost bring it to pass in our lives. That is the greatest honor that we can do. Father, we be with this congregation and thank you for the opportunity that we have to speak. If I had said something that didn't sit right or something against what Brother Pastor preaches, Father, I don't want to be difficult. I just want to do your will. But if I said something that hurt or something that probably it was unintentionally, forgive me. Just take the Holy Spirit and make it. I made the thought to be the right way, the way it should be. Father, we pray tonight. Because one of these days, we will preach the last sermon. One of these days, we will preach the last prayer. One of these days, we will be the last time we come to church. When is that? I don't know. But that's what I want to be found doing when you come. Doing what your word says. I profess it. I confess it. And I want you to help me with the power of your spirit to bring that to a fruition. Your word don't come in vain. It will do what it's sent to do. And we thank you tonight, Father. We thank you for everything you have done. Now be with our pastor. Be with those that are not present. Keep them. Protect them. Cover them, Father, until we come back again. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you again. Change my heart, oh God. Is that your desire? Make it ever. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like.